I want to finish up, which didn't start out to be a series of stewardship, but I want to finish up today on stewardship. And the reason I'm up here is because I don't want to be too close to you. And that's the reason I came in late. I've got something, but I don't know what. I ain't no. It's got me. I don't have it. And amen. But I feel pretty good right at the moment. And so you keep praying for me, and maybe I won't preach but an hour or two. If I get feeling better, I might preach three or four. Amen. But I want to talk about and wind up with the on this topic, the steward. But today I do want to talk about the steward of money. We've talked about steward of our time and steward of our personal walk here on this earth and different things over the last three or four weeks. But today I want to talk about steward of money. Everybody loves to talk about money if it's coming to you. Nobody loves to talk about money if you're having to give it away. Y'all can loosen up. It's going to be fun. I'm just, you know, probably most people don't like when the preacher talks about money anyway, Mike. They just don't like about it. But we can make it a little more tolerable, right? And so I want to talk to you a few things. I'm going to give you, there's more than this. I'm just going to talk about these three things this morning when it comes to being a steward of money. Of course, now, I like money. You like money too. You need it to live. How many of you know you need it to live? You got to pay your light bill and water bill and all those things. And you got to have it, and it's a necessary thing. And I've been on both sides of the money thing. I've been where there wasn't any, and I've been where there was some. And I like the was some side a lot better than where there was none. It's so much more fun on this side in a lot of different ways. I mean, wow. I've been broke before, and I remember one of these days, I'm going to get where I can buy that good-smelling soap. I went to my mama's, and she had Irish Spring soap. I said, well, if I can just get where I can buy some Irish Spring soap. We had to buy that, you know, 9 for 50 cent thing. You know, they didn't do anything. It just made you feel like you had soap. It wasn't soap. It didn't lather. But I enjoyed this side of it so much more because I get to do some things I want to do, but I can bless people on this side of it. Amen. How many of you know it's bigger than you? How many of you know that God gives you things and funds, and they're not always all for you? Amen. You may get to pass, and they may get to pass through your hands, but it doesn't mean you get to keep it. Amen? And so there's three things you can do with money. You can spend it, you can save it, and you can give it. That's the three things. You can save it in investments or whatever. You can give it, and you can save, spend, and give. It's no problem to spend it. Amen? Amen. How many of you have a problem not spending money? There's a couple. Arvell's pretty tight. My wife's pretty tight. Most of us see that's not our problem. Not spending money is not our problem. Amen? I mean, but some of you have, about everybody in the room, have a problem giving money. We give money. I'll give it to those that like me. I'll give it to my family. I'll give it to them. But just to give, I get a little tight. It's hard for us to want to give when we, and here's the reason why it's hard for us to give. When it leaves your hand, you no longer have control of it. That's why the Bible speaks of you can't serve, but well, you can serve one of the other gods. Either you want to see God or you'll serve mammon. Because see, when we have it, we think we can do better with it. You ever think you can do better with your money than God can do with your money? No. Well, here's the whole mess up in that whole statement. It's not yours anyway.
No, sir.
It never was yours. You get that, right? And I'm going to show you some things in Scripture. It's never yours. You don't have it. Oh, it may be in your bank account. But, you know, really, all they got to do is have one glitch in a bank account, and all of a sudden you can't get to your money. I went in one time, I'll tell you this little story. I went in one time to deposit money in my bank account. okay? And it was a few thousand dollars, you know, under 10, but it was mine. And I went into deposit, and the lady said, I need to see your ID. I said, for what? Now, I've been with this bank for 30 years. I said, why do you need to see my ID? Because you're going to deposit a certain amount of money. I said, I've never heard of that in my life. She said, well, we just want to make sure it's you. I said, well, has anybody else been in here trying to put money in my account? I'd like to meet them. Give them access to deposit money. I mean, this is the dumbest thing ever, right? I couldn't even put my own money that I had in my hand into my own checkbook that had my name on it. So I said, well, I'm not going to do that. She said, well, you can't deposit money. I said, I bet I can. I said, where's the manager? I happen to know her. It's your neighbor, Miss Tammy at the time. I said, well, just go get her. She walked up there and she says, I said, I'm trying to put money in my account. She said, oh, really? I said, yeah. But she says, I got to have an ID. She said, have him put his money in the account. Walks away. I just had to have somebody with a different authority level. Do you know that God has a different authority level? Come on. And so he can make things happen when you can't. Amen? Amen. I couldn't even do something with my own money. So somebody I'm not kin to, has no connection with me, says, yeah, you can do that. It's crazy, but that's what life is. So let me tell you about these three things. Number one, there's three things that are required of a good steward when it comes to money. Number one, I'll list these and then we'll go through them. Number one, you understand you don't own a thing. You do not own a thing. Number two, you are to be faithful in managing what you do not own. Well, that's kind of, that puts another spin on it. I've got to be faithful in managing something that's really not mine. And then number three, you can't earn a dollar without God. And I'm going to prove all three of these things by Scripture. Psalms 24:1 says this, pertaining to number one, understand you don't own a thing. Psalms 24:1 says, a psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Now, I want to ask you a question. How much of this is the Lord's? Okay, he reiterates this a couple of times. The earth is the Lord's. That's what we kind of know of. We don't really know about out here that much. But here we got it. He says, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness. Everything that happens in it, around it, from it, is the Lord's, the fullness of it. The world... He reiterates, say, the world, and he says, and those who dwell therein. You know, you are God's. Without God, I heard a preacher say one time, Daniel, without God, you can't catch your next breath in a fast car. I believe that. I mean, God has everything. He makes this thing happen. So number one, you don't own a thing, but God allows you to have money and use money, but you don't own it. You got to get that in your spirit first so you can be a good steward of money. Because if you think you're doing it all and you think you got everything going your way, you're going to be rudely awakened one day. God could take it just like that. I've seen it many times in my life. Number two, regarding that you're to be faithful and manage what you do not own. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required, everybody say required, in stewards that one be found faithful. You don't get to hit and miss with money and it be okay. You got to be consistent with it. You've got to be consistent with, if you want good credit, you got to be consistent with paying your bills. If you don't believe that, you just start skipping a few of those old credit card payments. And all of a sudden, you'll get a little notification that says, your credit has dropped 10 points or 30 or 60 or whatever. And the next time you go down to get that car loan or that home loan or whatever, guess what? They'll say, well, you know, I see here you hadn't been very faithful in paying your bills on time. That's a secular system derived right out from the Bible. The Bible says for you to be faithful. If you're a Christian, you ought to be faithful. You ought to be good paying your bills. Amen. Come on, somebody. You ought to pay your bills. I got to pay mine. You got to pay yours. The water bill people, they got to pay the people to buy, get water from, the energy. Everybody's got to pay bills. So as a Christian, we ought to set a standard up. We ought to pay our bills. Can I get an amen corner right in here somewhere? Amen. All right, so let's be faithful. That's the subject right there. I'm going to ease up on that one. We're going to come back to it, but number three, you can't earn a dollar without God. You understand? Here's scripture for it. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's God who gives you the ability. That word power translates to ability. It's his that gives you the strength, physical strength, the intellectual strength, the mind to go out and do things with money. It is God who gives you that, and he can take it away from you at any time if he gave it to you. Amen? And so it is God who gives you this power, this ability to gain wealth. So you don't have it, but you're required to manage and be a good steward of something that you don't own, that you cannot get without God, but you're required to manage it. You know what that means? You got to be real humble. You got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't even do this without you. And he says, yep, now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting somewhere. You acknowledge you can't do it without me. That's right. So now we got that. Let's go forward from here. So Proverbs 21:20 says this. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. What does that really mean? That there's desirable things in the world, Carl. There's a lot of desirable things I like. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Nothing wrong with desiring some things of the world, as long as they don't become your God. Right. Amen? Amen? I mean, I don't have a problem riding a bicycle. I'd rather ride a bicycle before I walk. Amen? Amen? But I'd rather ride in a nice air-conditioned pickup before I ride a bike. Amen? You get the point? There's some things that are to be desired, and it's okay. But it says there's a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. In other words, he says this, if you do a study on this, oil was a type of monetary system. It was something you could trade with and use in biblical times. He said, and there was oil in the dwelling of the wise. In other words, they set some back. They managed correctly for that rainy day. They said, well, I'm going to keep this in case things go a little sour, in case my sheep don't have as many sheep as they're supposed to have, or the oxen don't produce, or the cattle or the camels or whatever, or the wheat fields don't produce. I'm going to be wise and set some back. This is the saving part. The first part, the desirable thing, was you can spend it. Amen? And so you need to be wise. You need to save for a rainy day. You need to have some fun set back. There was a study just about a year ago that said the average, now I'm not saying everybody, we've been blessed in here, but the average American person couldn't get their hands on $500 cash. And I thought, that's got to be a lie. But I got to doing some more research, and that's absolutely the study. That's the statistic. Well, we ought to be better managers of that. God give us more than that. Amen? Now, how many of you know that I'm not a prosperity preacher? How many of you know I've never preached that? How many of you know I believe that's from hell? Amen? Okay, I do. I don't believe that one minute. I believe God wants us to be prosperous, but there's a process. I don't believe you give to get. Don't ever think that I believe it, because I do not believe that away. But I believe that God wants us to manage correctly, because he says, an oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man, those that don't sit back, he squanders it. Whatever he gets, the foolish man, he thinks, well, I'll get some more tomorrow, and he just squanders it. There's nothing left. There's nothing that to help and bless others with. And he says that a foolish man, he squanders it. There's nothing in his oil barrel, if you will. And so God's instructing us to manage money. Matthew 6:19 says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's really not a suggestion. It says do not. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does that mean that we shouldn't try to gain things here on earth? That we shouldn't have houses or lands or things, assets? Does that mean? No, it doesn't mean that at all. No, if you think that, you're missing the whole thing. Watch this. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures means something that you put your hope in, your trust in. Things that that's where your existence comes from. If y'all see me looking around, I'm making sure I don't fall off this thing, okay? Because I'm not used to being up here, okay? So if you think, what is he doing? I just don't want to fall off. Amen? And so it's saying, don't lay up. Don't put all your stuff and thinking, okay, this is my salvation. This is it. This is where it's at, because this is not. He's not telling you not to buy things and not to have things, because if you have more stuff, you can bless more people. You know how to help? You know how to help poor people? Where'd you learn that? Amen. I'm not downing poor people, but poor people can't help poor people. Poor people don't bless poor people. They don't. It's impossible. Warren Buffett has never went to a poor person and said, hey, would you give me some financial advice? Could I borrow 50? It's just not going to happen. So if you want to be able to be blessings, and look, when you have the funds to bless, guess what? Your treasure chest begins to be created in heaven. Come on. I can tell you it does. I'm telling you firsthand. When you get enough funds, you can take care of your stuff. That's another message too. Where you can take care of your stuff, and then there's leverage where you can start blessing people. Oh man, there's some kind of spiritual something that happens that says, wow, this is bigger than me. You know, you've heard me say it from this pulpit. It's bigger than you. This thing's bigger than you. My life is bigger than me. My bank account is bigger than me. Your bank account should be bigger than you. What I'm saying is that it's not all about you. If you got $500 or $5 million, it all shouldn't be spent on you. There's a bigger thing out of you. You can bless people. You can encourage people. I mean, I've talked to people that money would have solved all their problems. Well, it would have solved all their financial problems, but it wouldn't have solved all their problems. I heard a story one time. This guy, he says, he and his wife went into a nursing home, and this beautiful old lady, you could tell that she was from some money, you know, the way she dressed, what kind of wheelchair she was in, you know, you can tell the difference. And said, we looked at her, and he said, my wife and I, we walked by her, and I turned to my wife and said, $10 million wouldn't put a smile on her face right now. I thought, wow, that is amazing. See, there's the treasure that we think's treasure, but when you get right down to it, if you don't have your health, it's not a treasure at all. Isn't this cool? So, treasures. Where are your treasures? Are your treasures here? Is it the next thing you can buy? Is it the next piece of property you can own? Is it the next vehicle? Is it the next this or the next that? Is it the next set of clothes? What is it? Is it the next vacation? What is it that is your treasure? You have to find this out. You really need to settle this in your heart that it's okay to have these things, but these aren't treasures at all. If these things motivate you more than saying, Lord, what can we do together? Then there might be a slight problem. Because this stuff will fade away. Do you hear what I've said? It will fade away. I had a grandfather. Don't get any ideas. There's been no trickle down. He died a wealthy, wealthy man, a multimillionaire many times over. He got cancer in April, died in August. In June, he would have given every penny of his millions and millions to have health. But it didn't come. Now, thank God his treasure wasn't here. He was a Christian, but he thought for a long time, if he could get another dollar, if I could get another dollar, if I had one more dollar. And there was a lot of dollars accumulated, a lot. But it couldn't help him a bit when it come down to what really mattered. I want to tell you that stuff and life and money in this world, you got to have it to function, but there's going to be a day when it will not mean one thing. I'll bet you if I could ask Miss Tammy and Mr. Woody, if I give you $1 billion or you could have your grandson back, you'd say, what's the money? Give him back. Because it means nothing. This money thing is not complicated when you get it settled in your heart. People who have a problem with preachers and churches talking about money hadn't got this thing settled in their heart. That it's not even about the church. It's about God. How many of you know the last time we've taken up an offering in this house? Because I'm going to talk about real money in the church just in a second. How many? It's been a while. You know why? We don't have to. Because you give. But can I tell you this? I know there's some in the church that don't give. There's some in the church that don't give, but want the world to think they got wads of money, that they've got everything going on, but won't give a penny to the church. That's sad. Preacher, I didn't know he was going to talk about that. Well, I've got to talk about the whole gospel. Because if we don't point out those, it's not doing what the Word of God says. Then I'm wrong. I'm not helping anybody. Watch this. Here's what Scripture says about his money that you own or that you manage. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions, what he's allowed you to possess, control, with the first fruits of all of your increase. Why did he make that statement? There's a semicolon there, means which there's another sentence here to go with this. Verse 10 says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That was a way of increase in the Old Testament. The wine and barns being filled, wheat and barley and wine presses in oil. That was a form of wealth, okay? And so he says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with your first fruits of all your increase. I get asked this question, how should I tithe? Is it on the gross or the net? You're always splitting hairs, ain't you? Well, let's put it this way. None of it was yours, and what you want to cut out, the gross to the net is Uncle Sam's anyway. So, I mean, here's the way I do it. If you get a dollar, you ought to tithe on the dollar. If you get a $10,000 raise, now is that after taxes, before taxes? What's up? Do you want to be blessed or not? He said on your increase, he didn't say anything about taxes. He said, pay your taxes. He said, pay Caesar what's due Caesar. To do that, but he says, I'm telling you, I want the first fruits of all of your, the first, not after this, because then you'll start saying, well, I got to pay taxes. But now after my payments and after this, well, your payments most times just because your indulgence and your lack of ability to say no. Money comes down to one word. I've taught the class back here, and I teach everybody that asks me about money. Money is one word. Young people, you need to hear me. Old people need to hear me. One word. It's discipline. To say no or to say yes. Most of us don't want to discipline ourselves because we want to say yes to everything. Do you know there's more money spent on advertising than anything in the world? You know why? Because they know that most people do not discipline themselves to say no. You may not get to go out and eat all the time. You may not get to have that, whatever it is you ordered online. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have everything. You know that, right? But if you have a bunch of stuff, let me know. I might want to borrow it. That gives me the ability to say no. Amen. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. It said your increase. That's how you tithe. Now watch this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Very familiar. If you've been in church very long, this is the most avoided scripture by most preachers in churches because it talks about money. And everybody don't like the preacher. Nobody likes the preacher talking about money and tithing in the church because the preacher wants more. Well, I don't get any more. If there was $1 million given today, you realize I don't get any more money, right? I don't make any more money. You blessed us enough. I'm already capped out. I won't make a penny more. I'm telling you, if there's $1 million given today, I won't get it. I won't get a penny of it. Wow. And I capped that myself before these guys ever come along. So it's not about the preacher getting more money. It's not about the church having money. Look, you got some counts here that look, they love to give. They want to bless others. The end of this past year, they sat down and said, all right, we had a little meeting and said, we want to give $10,000 to help somebody. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you just went through your head. If you got that much money, I'm going to cut back on my giving. I think that says something about that foolish person up here. Did I read that? Said, do you know, you understand, you get blessed because you gave, and we bless people. You understand that comes back to you, right? It's the way this thing works. And so we want to bless people. We want to encourage people. We want to help do things outside of the church that may not be to your comfort of your fanny. You might not see that. You might not, it's for something else. And for someone else that may never come to this church. They may never go to a church ever. Was that foolishness to give that money to them? Well, we wasn't giving it to them so they'd go to church. We was giving it to them because the Bible teaches that it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And so by doing that, we pray that somewhere in here, they get something from this financial blessing that says something above people has done this for me. Are you getting the point? See, money is not about money. It's a bigger picture altogether. And we want to dumb it down to a few stinking paper dollar bills. What a sad, sad picture of your idea of money. If you think that's what it's at, if you think that the plate is full enough. Amen. Glad I'm not feeling that well today, because you're not receiving it that well today. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." Now this is God speaking. It's not a sermon that's prepared 100 years ago. This is God, right out of God's word in Malachi 3:8, right, the last book before the New Testament. He didn't change anything. People say, well, all this tithing thing. He didn't change it. This is the last thing he talked about. And then there's 400 years of nothing. He didn't change it. If he'd have changed it, he'd have said something here in the end of Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. He says it kind of like this, because in my Bible, there's an exclamation point. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Can you imagine having this conversation with God? Understanding, watch this, that they, at this point, they had the first five books of the Bible. They had Deuteronomy 8:18. Not in that 8:18, we put numbers to it later. But they had Deuteronomy. And they knew that it was God who gave them power to get wealth. And they're having this conversation knowing they didn't give to God. He says, well, how we robbed you? And he responds in tithes and offerings. Then he makes this statement. God's making this statement. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he makes this statement. It's not a suggestion. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to contain it. I've had people come to me and I talk to them about tithing and this, that, and the other. Preacher, I've tithed for 3 weeks. Nothing's happened. I had an uncle, God rest his soul. He went on to be with the Lord in 2018. He was a tither. Good Lord, he was a tither. He had such a picture of money, a bigger picture of money, that just sometimes I think about and just kind of gets me off. It kind of, wow, how can I get that picture? But I'd go to him and I'd say, well, I got, you know, maybe I'd have a problem. I've got this going on in my life and got this and this. And he'd say, how are you tithing? Are you still tithing faithfully? Because he'd ask you, are you tithing? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, are you doing it faithfully? Because, see, one of the requirements was to be faithful. He'd say, are you doing it faithfully? You know, that's a whole nother question. That's a whole nother picture right there. I'm tithing. Are you faithful? Because, see, this blessing thing, because there's, how many of you know a lot of heathenistic people that have a lot of money? Well, I know a bunch of them. Bill Gates. He's a heathen. It's by his own confession. Okay. Atheist kind of fellow. Okay. Knock yourself out. He got money. His life on the inside's jacked up. He got more money. He could buy a million wives. He can't even stay with the one that he had. Money is not the answer. But when you're faithful with money, guess what? This opening up doesn't
right here, it talks about money, but this opening up these windows of heaven, you know, and pouring out blessings, it's bigger than the money. Just don't be focused on the money. It's way bigger. It's peace and it's encouragement. It's life. It's a smile when you want to frown. It's being able to breathe when you think you're out of oxygen. It's being able to get up tomorrow when depression wants to come on you. It's blessings far greater than the money. See, it's not even about the money. It's about your faithfulness. It's about, he says, will you rob me? See, it's about, they robbed him in the tithes. They robbed him in what they could control. And God says, you're robbing me. But worse than that, you're getting robbed. You're cursed with a curse. Because you won't give to me what I've blessed you to manage. This money thing isn't hard once you get this in your spirit. That one day we'll lay on a bed or somewhere, or maybe it'll just be at a heart attack or whatever. We're going to die. And can I tell you this? You won't be thinking about money. Can I tell you that you won't be thinking about, boy, if I can get up off this bed, I'm going to buy that priest's property. Well, if I can get up and I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to buy me a more comfortable truck to ride in or a bigger house. You know, that's not going to be, that's not running through your mind. It amazes me how we put so much effort and stock and energies into obtaining stuff here that we cannot take with us, and we're going to leave to somebody that we won't trust to manage it with us now. It took me a long time. As my son was growing up, I tried to groom him in the right way in a lot of areas, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, work ethic. I tried to do a lot of those things. Didn't do too bad. Not too much. I just didn't do too bad. But it took me a long time for him. He went to college for precision ag. And it was hard for me to turn loose to let him make some of the decisions on the farm because I knew more. Yet I didn't go to school for precision ag. My daddy would get on to me because I couldn't plant a straight row. There wasn't nothing precision about it. I'm like the old fella said. He said, his farmer friend come out. He said, look, he got his friend driving for him today. He said, now look, the way you do that, you pick out a road. Now, a lot of you young farmers don't know what this means without GPS. You used to have this thing called a road marker out there on the end. You flop it out there and you followed that thing. You straddled it, right? How many old farmers know what I'm talking about? And he said, what you do is you pick out something on the far end down there and you don't take your eyes off of it and you go straight to it. He said, all right. So he gets in his tractor and wasn't no air either. Wasn't no radio. Just him and the air. Anyway, he's watching, and he comes back, and here in a minute, after a while, the farmer comes, and the whole field is just looks like this. All the rows are crooked. And he comes, and he stops, and says, what happened to you? I mean, I told you. Didn't I tell you to pick out something on the other end and not take your eyes off of it? He said, that's exactly what I did. He said, he couldn't have. He said, y'all, what happened was I started out looking at this black dot down there, and when I got down there, I realized it was a cow walking across the field. But I didn't take my eye off of it. He was focused. He had to focus on the wrong thing. He was following something that he couldn't catch. And guess what it did? It messed up the whole thing. Much like a planted field. Once you plant a crooked row, it's crooked all year. I had a fellow, before I had the money to purchase GPS system, because I didn't purchase but didn't have the money. A fellow come up to me, he was delivering diesel one day. He come by and he said, man, you got some crooked rows. I said, yeah, my GPS quit on me. He said, you got a GPS? I said, nope. I said, but here's what I do know.
Not one time, listen, have I went to the grain elevator and they asked me, did these beans come off a crooked row or a straight row? See, the idea was you plant them, you get a harvest. If you don't plant them, you won't get a harvest. And I'm telling you, if you'll plant right seeds financially, you'll get a harvest every time. You'll get a blessing. Now, it may not be that you give $100, and I know we love to pray. Lord, give a 30, 60, and 100-fold. Look, forget the 30 and 60. Give me 100 if we're going to pray that away. Amen? Let's just jump to the good stuff. Don't worry about the 30-fold. Give me the 100. That's what I'm after. Don't work that way all the time. Amen? What you're after is the blessings that God says, I'm going to give you blessings, and they may not always come financially. They may come in the form of you getting blessed, but you don't get to keep any of it. You bless someone else. Isn't that so cool? You got to train yourself to say, this isn't for me. You know, we talk a lot about we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to bless here, and we're going to do this. And then when you get that money and you're able to do this, oh, I don't know about that. That's a lot. Boy, I was just talking there. Ooh, I didn't mean to say it that much. I didn't know it was going to be that much. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't know it'd be that much. Well, what was you expecting? Oh, I was expecting 100-fold, but I only want to give on a 30-fold. Come on. I'm going to tell you a story and I'm going to close. This is a real story. Happened 10 days ago now, I guess. Real story, true story. You know we're involved with the call. And Sam is really involved in it and she's involved in our business. And I told her, I said, well, let's give 10% of the gross income that day. I had in my head about what that was going to be because I know about what we do on Fridays. When that was announced, we started getting checks in the mail. What? Now, I'm not talking about checks because they had done business with checks to give to that. Although, well, hold up just a minute now. That day rolled around and we broke every financial record we ever had on a Friday. Amen. Hadn't done that since, but we did it, didn't do it before. You know what I was faced with? Was I just talking? Was that just good publicity? Or is that really going to happen? Will a man rob God? See, God didn't tell me to do it. But it was when I committed to God, he gave an increase. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm just telling you, when you honor God, see, that increase wasn't for me. I didn't gain a penny out of that because all of the gross went to that. But God gave an increase so he can get the money to places that he wanted to get money to because he saw lack here. And he says, this person or this group of people or this church is more than willing to give up something that they don't really even need to get to where I need it to be. That's how money works. It's not all about you. If you want to walk around with $1 bills wrapped up in a couple of hundreds and think you got something, that's your business. That's just whatever you want to do. Don't make me no difference. Or do you want to silently be able to bless people, be able to bless ministry so that God can bring you increase? See, we think increase is for us to keep all the time. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the increase that you will receive is for you and you alone. That's not what that says. Increase is for you to be able to be a blessing. You want to keep some of it, that's fine. The Bible also instructs us. Look, I could preach for weeks on money.
Bible instructs us that you should, as a laborer, you should enjoy some of the fruit of your labor. Amen. He said, I do it. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that. Amen. I'm going to enjoy something that I work for. He said, you're okay to do that. He didn't say, enjoy all of it. He said, enjoy some of it. Put it in proportion. In what's the word I'm looking for? Proportion. Because, see, I could spend. Now, let's do this, and I will close. See, if I spent $5 a day, that's one thing. I said, well, I'm doing pretty good if I spend $5 a day. Well, let's make it more number because $5 doesn't mean anything. Let's just say that you're allowed to spend your, let's say husbands, your wife allows you to spend $100 a day, just no questions asked. I'd like to meet your wife and have her talk to my wife, though. You think, well, it's no big deal. $100 a day, $700 a week, no big deal. It's a big deal to me. But anyway, that sounds like a big deal, right? But you know, years ago in the 80s when Trump, that before he was ever political at all, he went bankrupt. You know, they said, well, we got to cut you back to spending $15,000 a day. I think I want to be bankrupt like him. I could be bankrupt like him. If I get to blow $15,000 a day in bankruptcy, sign me up. I'm going to make it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's $500,000 a month thereabouts. Okay. I can adjust and live on that upward. See, the increase is kind of relative. It's relative. It's not all about big money. It's not all about little money. It's where you are. $1 million is a lot of money to me. You tell Warren Buffett he's down to $1 million, he's broke. Think about it. See, that's nothing to him. But to us in this room, we got $1 million. Hey, woo-hoo. Come on. I don't know if anybody in this room would say, that's just $1 million, walk away from it. Well, that's you. I can assure you, you ain't tithing. Not of this church. Amen. Come on, somebody. You didn't think I was going to pick up on that, did you? I'm pretty sharp. You ain't tithing. I hope that you've gotten a little something out of this. I know it's not one of them super hallelujah moments, but you know it's part of the Bible. You know it's really in the Bible. You know, I preached a while back on money. We have more conversations about it multiple times a week in our homes because of money. How are we going to pay this? How are we going to do this? Oh, we got this check in, or oh, this needs to be done. We have those conversations all the time, but yet we don't like to talk about it in the church because it's one of those sticky things. It's not sticky for me. It's not sticky at all for me because it's part of the Bible. If talking about money from the pulpit is sticky, then talking about being saved should be sticky because it's still in the Bible. It's a necessary thing. All this is in here and it's given for us. All scriptures inspired by God for instruction, reproof, correction, for encouragement. That's what this is for. So if you need this, amen. I need this so that we can grow financially and bless others, and then blessings come to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, I love you. I won't be at the back today. I'm going to slip right out that door, and I'm fixing to bless you. Don't be offended. I just don't want you to have what I have. I'm on a pretty good weight loss program with it, though. Amen. Woo! And I'm ready to stop. Amen. Glory to God. If not, I'm calling some nurses in this church and some doctors because about tomorrow we're finna stop all this. Amen. Glory. Let me bless you before we go. I love you. Hope to see you tomorrow. Come out, and if you can, I know a lot of you work and stuff, but if you can find time, please come by and support our family that's going through some grief and unimaginable. I don't even want to. I hope I never have to. God keep his hand on you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask, Lord, that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man. Lord, that prosperity, job promotions, raises, and increase would come our way. And Lord, that peace would rest on every rooftop. Lord, especially the Woods family today. That when they lay down today, we lay down today or this afternoon, tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our physical bodies and our spiritual souls. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone says amen and amen.